Welcome to Sports Connections with David Smale, a podcast that brings fun and interesting connections throughout sports. As an author and sports journalist, David has been interviewing fascinating people in sports for more than 40 years. Now here's your host, David Smale.
Kathy Nelson became the president and CEO of the Kansas City Sports Commission and Foundation in November 2011 after serving the commission in various volunteer roles. In her 9+ years in this role, she has seen the city become one of the very few U.S. cities to celebrate championships in three major sports, Major League Soccer, Major League Baseball, and the NFL. She and her staff helped plan victory parades for the Royals in 2015 and the Chiefs this past February. Nothing ever catches her off guard. A native of Kansas City, she has become an influential leader in our city. Kansas City Star included her on their 2020 list of the 50 most influential people in Kansas City sports history, not just currently, ranking her at number 38, making her one of only four women on the list. Prior to that, she has been named one of the 20 most influential sports figures in Kansas City, placing her behind only Clark Hunt, Dayton Moore, Peter Vermes, and David Glass. And she's not just well-recognized in Kansas City, however. In 2018, she received the Sports Tourism Executive/CEO of the Year Award, which is a national honor. In 2017, Kathy and the Sports Commission were honored as Sports Commission of the Year from Compete Magazine. And in 2016, Nelson was selected to serve on the board of directors of Sports ETA, formerly known as the National Association of Sports Commissions. Nelson first joined the Kansas City Sports Commission in August 2010 as the Win for KC director. Prior to that, she was an active volunteer and member of the Win for KC and the KC Sports Commission for more than 10 years. She was previously on the Win for KC Advisory Board and has been involved on the Women's Sports Award Celebration Committee. Prior to the Sports Commission, she served in senior management roles in marketing, sales, and promotions at Time Warner Cable and Metro Sports, and held a number of roles at Fox 4 WDAF-TV in Kansas City, including creative services manager, producer, reporter, and editor. Her list of achievements and honors could fill our entire hour, so I'm going to stop there. Kathy, welcome to Sports Connections.
David, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to catch up with you once again. I think we first met probably five or six years ago at a function at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, and I've always enjoyed connecting with you. You've had quite a run of championships since taking over as the president and CEO, beginning with Sporting in 2013, followed by the Royals in 2015, and the Chiefs in 2019. So my question is, why did you wait so long to fill that role? We could have been enjoying championships a lot sooner.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you that I had a role in that beyond a cheerleader and biggest fan of all three teams. But yeah, it's pretty surreal when you think about how the team's successes have kind of mirrored my career path. It's definitely fun and fantastic, but I really can't take credit for that.
Well, I'm going to give you credit anyway. And I just want you to know, I know we're speaking to you while you're taking a brief vacation from at home, but we are not going to let you retire. You're going to have to work there until you're about 108. Because we like this run of championships and we're going to give you credit for it because they didn't happen until you got to that role.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I do appreciate that.
So do you have copies of the trophies on your office shelf?
I do not. I have memories and I do have banners and of course some special memorabilia from confetti and all kinds of stuff. But for me, it's that picture in my mind, I think, that really stands out and the friendships I've made through all of these runs.
Now, I know Sporting won at home, so you were probably there. And the Royals, I saw you at many of the World Series games in 14 and 15. Were you in New York for game five?
No, I was not. And actually in 2015, both 2014 and 2015, the final game in 2014, I was sitting on my couch by myself. My husband travels a lot. And so I was watching the game by myself. And then same in 2015, although I did select a different couch. I was sitting by myself.
Yeah, sports are all about superstition. So I'm sure the Royals appreciated that.
Yes.
I think you were in Miami for the Super Bowl, though. Were you not?
No, I had the opportunity, and people were like, I can't believe you didn't go. I did have the opportunity, and after some pretty intense conversations, you know, both of those parades were a lot of intense planning, a lot of hours, and the Super Bowl parade is a little bit of a different beast altogether because there's weather involved.
Right.
There's just so many different factors that played into that. And knowing that with Kansas City, of course, just look at the weather today, anything can change when you look out your window. So it wasn't worth the risk to get me to Miami to enjoy a few celebrations there and risk not being able to get back to plan the party of the century. Yeah. So I stayed behind and actually watched the game with our staff, our entire Sports Commission staff, watched it together at one of our staff members' homes. And, you know, the first half, like all of you, we were in denial, like, well, here we go. We've planned another parade and not going to get to see it happen. And then the second half, we were all standing around because we were ready to send the news release with all the details out and for all of those victories. So, you know, there's not a lot of celebrating, as crazy as that sounds, because as soon as that victory happens, we go into planning mode and, and then it's a lot of work.
I know that there's, like you just said, there's so much planning for the parade. It's almost difficult to enjoy it because you're probably exhausted by that time. But being a part of the parade and seeing the celebration that our city enjoyed, it's like asking which of your daughters is your favorite. You can't, I'm not that, I won't do that, but I will ask you, which parade was your favorite?
You know, I don't know. I think it depends on the rest part, the second part of that, or the next part of that question, which parade is your favorite and why? Mm-hmm. So for me, the and why in 2015 was our city didn't know what to expect. There was no playbook, right? We hadn't won for so long. It's not like we dusted off the manual. Nobody knew who to call, how to pay for it, nothing. So it was a lot of those first for us in 2015, and we'll figure it out. I love that. I love a challenge. I love the competitiveness of, we got to get this figured out. And a lot of people think, oh my gosh, you pulled that off in 3 days in 2015. So I cherish that, that people think, you know, that that happened. That's not the case. That was planned obviously for a year and a half. Yeah. And we talked about it daily. Well, what if we tried this? And what if we did this? And we did drills and rehearsals and things. So I'd say 2015, the why was at my favorite was because there were so many firsts of getting that done and getting it done well. So proud of that. Of course, the weather and just seeing Dayton's face and the Glass family and that getting to know the players and their families, that was special for me. But then the Super Bowl parade, that why for me is, again, knowing those people, knowing Clark Hunt and knowing Mark Donovan and seeing them celebrate and being comfortable and knowing that they trusted us to plan a party for them. That is probably why that parade was my favorite. So you're right. I just like my two daughters. I wouldn't pick one over the other, but they both are very special for different reasons. And I'll tell you a quick story about in 2015, my dad passed away a couple years before that. He passed away in 2013 and huge baseball fan. We would watch as many games together as we could. And we attended a lot of the games, and Cookie Rojas for some reason was my favorite player. And he would always, you know, make sure I knew what was going on in the game. In 1985 for that World Series parade, my mom worked at Western Auto downtown, and her office was on the top floor back in the corner. And my dad, I have two younger brothers, my dad would take turns holding my brothers and I out of her office window by our legs so we could throw ticker tape. So I have a memory of looking down and seeing the cars and all the ticker tape, and my dad just handing me buckets of ticker tape, and then my other brother would be up next and he'd throw ticker tape. And we would dangle out that office window. So in 2015, my dad couldn't be there, but I was able to carry some of his ashes with me in my pocket. And as we drove by the Western Auto Building, it became a very emotional time for me.
Wow.
Because of that memory of my dad. And, you know, I miss my dad so much. And my mom was there in parade day and my brothers. And so for me, it was just that family connection.
Yeah.
But my youngest daughter, Hannah, has been my right hand in both of these parade planning things. She's kind of got that innate event planning mode in her head, right? And so in 2015 for the Royals Parade, she was in high school, and she called me on that Monday and said, "Mom, you're never going to believe this. They let us out of school." And I thought, wait, the school's closed for this? You know, we didn't really expect that.
Yeah.
So I said, "Okay, well, you can come down and help me plan, and or you can be my right hand." And she held all my radios and helped with media requests. Well, we get to the start of the parade. We'd been up all night. We get over to, at the time, Sprint Center, now T-Mobile Center, and we're helping kick the parade off. I'm on headset and all the players are coming out, and she's right there with me. And then as the last truck came out, we jumped on our golf cart and raced back to the inn at Union Station. And we came down and turned north on Main in my golf cart, and we were on the parade route. So it was, you know, easy to get through that.
Yeah.
We sat there right next to Union Station, and she turned around and looked back, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, Mom, look behind us." Because when we had left Union Station that morning, there were maybe 20,000 people there, maybe, you know, it was just kind of a spattering of people. And we turned and looked back. And of course, we all have that blue memory now of what the hill looked like. Yeah. And she says, "I cannot wait for you to plan my wedding."
And she was in high school.
Like, whoa. So
yeah,
she was my sidekick for the Super Bowl parade as well, which was fantastic. So again, just some memories that I'll cherish forever of having my family there with me and helping out.
And your job is way more than planning parades. I mean, obviously that's a big thing. But if that's all you did, there would be a lot of downtime because we don't get parades all the time.
Right.
A big part of your role is bringing events to Kansas City. I know Kansas City hosted the Major League Baseball All-Star Game in 2012. That planning happened probably before you took over as CEO, but you were really busy with that. Every Big 12 tournament since 2010 has been in Kansas City, and we've hosted NCAA and USA championships in numerous sports. What's your strategy for bringing these events to Kansas City?
So it takes years to get that to happen. You're right. Planning parades is kind of icing on the cake for us. If it happens, great. Definitely not our full-time gig. We actually own about two dozen of our own events, which takes a majority of our time. So from youth camps and clinics to awards banquets to marathons, triathlons. So that's where a lot of our focus is. But then you're right, about a third of our time is spent on attracting these events. And our strategy is what works for our city. When we sit down at the table, it's not just the sports commission, it's the hotels, it's the venues, you know, it's the city manager's office. It depends Kansas or Missouri and how all that plays out. And then does it fit into the calendar? So, you know, we're working on things for 2026, 2027, 2028 already.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to put those puzzle pieces together. So our strategy is knowing where people will show up, knowing what tickets people will buy. We know college basketball works well in our city. So of course we always bid on that. Volleyball tends to work well. We like to attract volleyball here. We are bringing wrestling back to Kansas City in 2025. Thrilled about that for the NCAA Division I championship. I've been working on that since I started. That championship is massive. We know, you know, the Midwest is a great hub for wrestling.
Yeah.
So we work with our venues. We strategize with them. We, you know, what can we afford to do? What makes sense to do? And then what's our guarantee back to that event owner? All those pieces have to fit well together into our calendar. And then we go after it. There are things that we bid on that we are not awarded. And that happens a lot. It's just like winning and losing in a game. You lose a lot more than you win. And you have to be okay with losing. And you have to celebrate winning. So I think a lot of the times our city, you know, even across the country, hear what you've won, but they don't know that for every bid you've won, you've lost out on 10. Yeah. So a lot of our time is, okay, that would work well here. And once you do lose something, you move on and you work at it. And why didn't that work? And, you know, we've been on wrestling so many times. Why weren't we awarded that? Then you start interviewing people. What could we have done different? What do you need to see from us?
And that's a great explanation. It's not the direction I was thinking about. So I appreciate you explaining it that way. What I was thinking about is maybe it's as simple as how do you sell Kansas City to people who have a choice of cities all around the country? What's your strategy for saying Kansas City is the place to have your event?
Yeah. And that is a big part of it as well. When it comes to a bid, you get what's called an RFP, a request for proposal, right, from these event owners. And that's if you've made the cut that they're interested in your location. So a lot of it is history of our city. Having three professional teams that have won championships helps. Yeah. When people no longer, wait, where is Kansas City? Oh yeah, the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC. And now they have a professional women's soccer team. I do know about Kansas City. That helps. A new airport helps. The streetcar helps. So that word of mouth helps. But then to strategize, back to your question of how do we get people to consider us one of their top 10 when they are starting to weed out cities, it comes down to relationships and trust. So they know when they're in Kansas City, the staff at T-Mobile Center is the best in the country. That venue is still 10 years later, the best in the country when it comes to locker rooms. So one, you have to create a relationship so that they trust you and they know, hey, I can get to Kansas City. Kathy's got us taken care of. And now I can see it in person. It's walkable. The hotels are fantastic. There are places to eat. People are amazed once they get here. With our World Cup bid, one of the biggest selling points is our pitch this past summer. We've made it to one of the 17 cities and now we still have this ongoing bid process. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that became a light bulb for everyone on the FIFA committee was that we're a 4-hour flight from any other city that would host games, whether that's Canada, Mexico, or the United States. That's a game changer.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they kept saying, and they were sitting in Switzerland, their offices are in Switzerland, and I could hear them saying, so any team is only a 4-hour flight from Kansas City. Oh, and then you could just see that start. Yeah. So now I've got that going forward for me. The new airport's going to help. It's walkable. I mean, it's just that kind of, all of that selling Kansas City, it becomes a lot easier.
And you've answered a couple of my questions. I was going to ask you about how the new airport will help. So you've answered that one.
I will tell you on the airport, when we lost out about 4 years ago for the NCAA Division I men's wrestling, I was devastated. I couldn't believe it. I thought we have the perfect venue. We've got the location. We've got the Power and Light District. You know, that comes with a big fan festival. We know we can host that well. I could not believe it. And so I called the people on the committee and one of the guys told me, your airport stinks. We don't want to bring our fans and our teams through the airport. It's a bad deal. So that, you know, the new airport helps. The bad airport or the old airport, the current airport, definitely hurt us a couple times.
Okay. And this is kind of a more opinion than, I mean, you're great with the facts and you know Kansas City sports maybe as well as anybody in the area, but this is more of an opinion. Why are sports so important economically and psychologically to the Kansas City area?
Oh my gosh. So I love to tell our elected officials about the economic activity that happens when you bring an event to town.
Yeah.
The Big 12 Men's Basketball Championship is really our Super Bowl every year. We know that week of activity, of economic activity, sets a budget when you think about the Power and Light District and those different servers and restaurants and people that work the transportation, the hotels. There's a lift in our city that nothing else creates.
Yeah.
I mean, economically, sports is a driver that no one can match. There's also this marketing thing and an image. For our city now, when I go out to pitch World Cup or the NFL draft or even other NCAA championships and USA national championships, guess what pictures I use? Those parade pictures, yeah, of our fans showing up. There's an image that you can't buy. There's no better story. And these teams winning and us having successful Big 12 events and NCAAs, you know, you can't get a ticket to them. That tells a story that I can't pay for. Yeah. So there's this image. And then, like you said, socially, it makes us feel good. We like to say at the Sports Commission, there are three things that we focus on. We want you to participate in a sport. We want you to be active. We want you to get out and run, bring your girl to our camps and learn lacrosse or field hockey or football. Right. We want your kids to participate. We want you to spectate. We want our city to show up for fans. We want you to buy a ticket and sell it out to make those people feel good about our city. And then lastly, we celebrate. And boy, we've had some great opportunities to celebrate in our city. So you think about participate, spectate, and celebrate, those social pieces to your heart that come with sports, win or lose, it's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. I want to talk to you about some of the events you've focused on, a couple of them, just touched on them. So I want to get a little bit more in depth with them. First of all, let's talk about the NFL draft coming to Kansas City. Is that 2023?
Yes.
Okay. How did that happen? I know that cities started, you know, they used to be always in New York and then they went to Chicago. Then all of a sudden now it's, you know, it's all over the place. When did you first find out that we had a chance in Kansas City and how did that happen?
So my background in television and television production, actually had been fortunate to work a few NFL drafts in the TV truck in New York and had heard rumbling that, you know, they might consider taking that off site somewhere. So I know that they'd already been working with Chicago and I've now been to every draft since it's hit the road. So attended the draft in Chicago for a couple of years and then Philadelphia had been talking to them about it. Well, we were right there front and center. Mark Donovan does a great job of making sure that we're at the forefront of those relationships and communicating. So it was, well, why not Kansas City? Why not Kansas City? And then it kind of became, well, we might not get a Super Bowl, so maybe we should be considered for a draft. So I jumped all over that. Of course, we should be considered for the draft. It'll blow your mind what it could be like here. So we actually thought, as there was never really a formal bid process until most recently, we thought we might be awarded 2019 or 2020. Thank goodness that didn't happen. Yeah. But so then they did kind of go through a formal pitch. And once we got the NFL events team to Kansas City from New York, well, first off, we flew to New York for a formal pitch. And that was maybe, I don't know, 10 cities that were selected to do that, ranging from Houston and Cleveland and all kinds of others. So I jumped on a plane with Mark Donovan and our city manager at the time, Troy Schulte. And we went up and just put together a presentation and told them all about Kansas City. And I asked, you know, how many of you have been to Kansas City? They work with the NFL. I assumed everyone had. Mm-hmm. There were 17 people in the room. Two raised their hand.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Wait, you, well, no, they work for the NFL events. They're not with the club. They don't work game days. So, no, they hadn't been to Kansas City. Of course, they watch games. Well, then I realized, whoo, we might maybe have our work cut out for us here. Most of them have not selected to vacation in Kansas City, so don't know our city.
Yeah, our beaches aren't as good.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So then it became focused on relationships. How can they get to know me? How can they get to know our staff? They know Mark, they need to know our city better. Then once we got them to Kansas City, then it kind of picked up steam quickly when they saw the footprint, the opportunities, the fan base, of course, they already knew about, but television ratings played into it. And we just kept telling our story over and over again. And then they came a second time and we did another formal pitch over a lunch hour. They spent the day with us walking the city and laying out what it could look like. Having Populous located here in Kansas City helps as well. Populous helps design their sets. So we had Populous kind of help us out, put our pitch together, which of course never hurts. But it just became friendships, relationships, and what it would look like here. And I was a little nervous, you know, when you find out that these other cities had been awarded. Dallas, I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're going to compete against them. Vegas. But Commissioner Goodell told me that he said, Kathy, you have to think of the NFL draft as a chameleon. It will take the shape, the look, the feel, the color of your city. You're not competing against anyone else. We will make the draft Kansas City, and Kansas City will make the draft the NFL draft of a lifetime memory. I thought he's right. And then I got to work. I'm like, this is what it could be. So you know, it was a lot of work. It was 5 years of presentations, pitches, and everything before we finally found out we had been selected and awarded.
Now, will it be at Union Station? Is that where the stage will be?
Yeah, right now that is the plan. Okay. Who knows? You know, once they get a little closer, the city has been selected. The final pitch, even though we had multiple locations, the final pitch was Union Station, of course, that iconic view. Yeah. But not to say that could change, but I would give that pretty high odds of happening.
Sure. And just, you said you've been to the other drafts in other cities. It used to be inside an arena, you know, in a small auditorium. Relatively small auditorium. Now it's outside. And what should people in Kansas City expect to experience when attending a draft in their city?
So it is 3 days of the celebration of sport. It's us connecting fans to the sport and getting that inside peek of what it's like. So it's no cost. Tickets are free. You would have to sign up as it gets closer to Kansas, as the time gets closer for us to host. But I would tell you, even if you're not selected to be inside the bowl, wherever that tight bowl ends up being, there are so many things to do. You'll get to see the rings. You'll get to see helmets and jerseys. And this, the interactiveness of it is so cool for any fan, even if you're not a Chiefs fan, to come down and check it out. There's so many things to do. And I think for us, what I'm most proud of is that we'll get to show the world the flavor of Kansas City.
Yeah.
And 3 days of activities and events and just things happening all throughout downtown is pretty exciting.
Give us an update on the World Cup bid for 2026 and why should FIFA choose Kansas City, besides the fact you can get to here within 4 hours from any other city being considered?
Yeah, well, you know, so your first question on what's next is we still have pieces of our bid due. We just submitted one piece the end of November. Our next piece is due in January, a human rights bid piece. The stadium reconstruction piece is due in March. We are hopeful that they will get here for site visits over the summer. So there'll be a large group of people coming over from FIFA. So, you know, we should have known in October of 2020 if we'd been selected, but thanks to the virus, we're all figuring this out with them. So hopefully the goal is now by the end of 21, depending on how the pandemic continues to play out, we will know for sure if we're hosting matches or not. No matter what, we will be a World Cup city. If we don't get to host those games, then there'll still be opportunities and activities. We could be a team base camp, practice facilities. There's all kinds of things that come from the World Cup they'll need other cities for. But I think when you think about the games themselves, we should be chosen because central location, our fan base, our city being able to get around easily, and just the overall feel of when you come to our city, you can get anywhere. The friendliness. I mean, there's just so many things when we bring people to our city of what they learn. They're like, my gosh, the airport is not that far. It's a 20-minute drive to downtown. You know, and then you can walk wherever once you get there. So I think when you think international and with the new airport opening up, being able to get people here is going to be so easy. And once they're here and they're in their room, easy to get out to the stadium. We're working on our transportation plan, which is due in a few months. You know, 435 in that loop becomes pretty critical to us. Yeah. We've talked about just leaving a lane just for World Cup transportation that entire month, whatever that looks like. So there's all kinds of very creative things happening. And I think they see our city as the, hey, we can go there and the World Cup will change our city no matter what. And we're willing to work with them.
It's interesting. I was in, had the opportunity flying back from a missions trip a couple of years ago to spend 24 hours in Reykjavik, Iceland. And my Uber driver, and he gave me a cell phone number. So every time I needed a ride somewhere, I could call him. And we just hit it off. He was wearing an Iceland World Cup jersey because they had been in, they'd become the smallest country ever to have to play in the World Cup. And I told him I was from Kansas City. And he went, Kansas City. You guys are one of the cities that's bidding for the World Cup. And I said, yeah, we're going to get it. And he goes, well, then I'm coming to Kansas City. You'll drive me around. So it's already the work you guys are doing is being noticed around the world, whether we get a game or not. It's being noticed. And I really hope we do get games here. That would be great. But the fact that we can do other stuff, even if we don't, is pretty cool.
And I think the legacy of the World Cup is something that none of us can grasp yet. You know, we say hosting the World Cup would be like hosting 6 Super Bowls within a month's time span. None of us really know. When you think about the World Cup, the last time the United States hosted a World Cup, that's when Major League Soccer was formed in the United States. That was the legacy of that World Cup. So now we're working on what is the legacy when it's here. It will transform our city, there's no doubt. And that's what makes me excited that you're hearing people from all over the world talk about it.
Now, the Super Bowl, you said it would be like hosting 6 Super Bowls. We saw New York City, or actually New Jersey, host a Super Bowl in the last decade, a cold weather city. Is there any chance of getting a Super Bowl in Kansas City?
Sure. I'm not working on it.
Okay. All right. Let me. That's great. I wasn't expecting that. Let me say it this way. What hurdles do we have to clear to get a Super Bowl in Kansas City?
Well, the first hurdle will be when the NFL is ready to reconsider a cold weather city again.
Yeah.
And as soon as that happens, then I would tell you, you know, we'll be involved in those conversations. Something that went a little unnoticed was in this year in September, we were selected to be the NFL kickoff city. Due to COVID, of course, that wasn't as highly recognized. We were still the NFL kickoff city. We had Alicia Keys here. We worked again with the NFL events team. They're getting to know us. They understand Kansas City now. Yeah. That definitely helps. So I think until the NFL is like, yes, we'll look at where there could be snow on the ground for that game. You know, we don't sit back and wait. We're still forming those relationships and making sure they know we're here and ready, but there's not much work for us to do right now as far as a bid goes for that.
Right. But the relationships you've built preparing for the draft or being selected for the draft and pulling that off successfully, which I'm very confident we will in a little over 2.5 years, will help should that happen. Should the NFL say, you know, we can consider another cold weather city without a dome, because I know they've been in Minnesota and places like that. But so it's good to know that that is still a possibility. Tonight is the championship game of the college football playoff. Has there ever been any discussion about hosting a bowl game in Kansas City?
Yes. I call Bill Hancock a friend.
Yes.
You know, people don't know that, but he is from Kansas City. And so I whenever I get the chance to spend a few minutes with him, I try to sit next to him on a plane when possible. Normally his wife, Nikki's there. He's like, no, Kathy, move on. This is Nikki's seat. But he knows that. And I've had some great lunches with him and coffees where we've talked about what would it take. I think the bowl market is so saturated. Yeah. There's not a reason for us to step into that where the expense of hosting a bowl game and trying to guarantee a sellout and all that, that's maybe not the best position for us. We have looked at some preseason games. You know, we're much more focused on Mizzou football, Arrowhead, which should have happened this year and is now being postponed. We're looking at, you know, K-State football, Nebraska, all of that. And we work with the Arrowhead events team as well on that and what we could do to bring those teams here. I do think, you know, it would work at some point, but again, with the saturation of bowl games, I don't know that it's needed.
Yeah. Yeah. Where did you get your passion for sports? It's pretty obvious. And I've known you for at least 5 years, maybe longer. And I've never not picked up that you were just passionate about what you're doing related to sports. Where did that passion come from?
Oh my gosh, my parents, a huge sports fan, both of them. And I'm the oldest. And it was just expected, I think, that we would play and encouraged. I grew up north of the river, and we had an acre for backyard. And my dad made sure that we used the laundry clotheslines as our volleyball net. He poured a concrete pad for our basketball goal. We had a stock tank for a swimming pool. We would race each other on our laps in a stock tank. And then he, as we got older, created a track in our backyard for us. So we would run 50 meters. We had hurdles set up. I mean, my dad just always encouraged us, and my mom was the biggest cheerleader. So I went to a very small parochial school from kindergarten through eighth grade. And most of my years, they didn't have girl sports teams. So my dad would encourage me to play on the boys teams. But then as I got older, of course, fifth, sixth grade, we added girls volleyball. We added a girls basketball team. And I tended to be the point guard, the setter, whatever that took. And I just enjoyed it. We didn't win a lot of games and it didn't bother me. You know, my parents were there supporting us. We went to hundreds and hundreds of Royals games, Chiefs games, wherever we could go celebrate sports, we did. And that just grown up that way, having that support system around me.
And you're in the Winnetonka High School Hall of Fame, something that I've read you say makes you more proud than just about any other achievement. Just talk about that.
Yeah, I didn't know a single person. I went from a class of 13 people from my eighth grade graduating class, same 13 I started kindergarten with.
Wow.
Now a school of 2,000 of which I knew no one. And just that welcoming, it was a diversity of student body, of teachers, always being encouraged. I remember my freshman year, my locker partner, who I didn't know, smoked. I couldn't believe it, that there was a teenager that smoked. You know, just the world opened up to me at Winnetonka. And being supported again to try whatever. It was band and sports and art and chemistry. And just, I was always encouraged and challenged there. And I think for me being recognized when I walk into the school, I visit every once in a while and see my picture up on the wall is very humbling because so many people there gave me an opportunity to participate and encourage me in leadership roles there that have impacted me, of course, now in my career. Recently, I was inducted last month to the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. And people from Winnetonka came to that to celebrate me. That meant a lot.
Now, obviously, you talked about playing a lot of sports. You've got some athleticism. And I want to ask you specifically about one event that you, I don't know if you expected to win, but tell me about Dancing with the Kansas City Stars.
Oh my gosh, David, that event follows me everywhere. Yes, I was asked, I was actually playing golf one day and somebody I was playing golf with, she said, hey, would you ever consider participating in this? I think you'd do well. And it's a fundraiser for Cristo Rey High School.
Right.
So I said, well, you know, I've never danced. I know nothing about this. I guess, are there lessons? And she said, yeah, I think it's 10 or 20 lessons. And I thought, well, I can't dance. It cannot be that hard. Surely I could figure this out. I ended up 72 lessons. I purchased more lessons because I wasn't going to fail. I wasn't going to embarrass myself, and got to know my professional coach, teacher, partner was from Russia. His name was Val. I can't even pronounce his real name. And he would snap at my feet and go, no, no, Kathy, that is not good. That is not good. I'm like, I know it's not good. So yes, I ended up being named grand champion, had a custom dress that he made for me and 18 inches of hair extensions and fake eyelashes that I've never, ever thought anything about. And went out and did my dance and won, and it was fantastic. But dancing is a sport. It is very painful. It is frustrating. And I'm musical. I play the flute, so that helped.
Yeah.
But definitely in playing sports helped, but it also hurt at times. He's like, don't do your basketball move. Be a dancer. I'm like, what is the difference? And yeah. So we had some yelling matches and got over it. And yeah. I do treasure my crystal ball from that, though.
That's cool. Now, I want to wrap up with this. We have one other thing in common, as you know, other than our love for Kansas City sports. Your father and my father both worked for TWA for around four decades. And they may have even known each other. We never figured that out. But I know your family is important to you. Just talk about your family, your mom, your brothers, and your husband and your daughters. Give us an update on how everybody's doing.
Yeah. Like I shared, my dad passed from Parkinson's a while back. And, you know, you probably had airplane chairs too, where you got to hang out. Oh my gosh, that was a thing. We had airline chairs in our basement where we watched TV and you could open a little tray table.
Yeah,
and eat and watch the Super Bowl. So, you know, I missed my dad. I was with my mom, of course, over the holidays, got to see her a little bit. She lives up north in Liberty, so I talk to her every day. And my two brothers are close by. And then my husband is here with me. And our oldest daughter lives in Portland, Oregon. She graduated from Colorado State a couple years ago and is a scientist up there in the beer hops industry. And our youngest daughter is a senior in college and will graduate in May and deciding if she should go get her master's or start in the career world. So we're all good. We're all healthy. You know, it's an interesting time. We miss each other and our family's known to hang out and vacation together. And it's interesting times right now, but they're my champions and I champion for them whenever I can. And we play as many sports as we can and get in golf whenever it's above 40 degrees.
There you go. Well, Kathy, I appreciate your time very much. I always enjoy visiting with you, and to do it formally like this was very enjoyable to me. And I wish you all the best and just keep bringing championships and championship parades to Kansas City.
I love it. David, thank you so much as well.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Sports Connections with David Smale. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and rate the show from your favorite podcast platform. You can learn more about David Smale and his work by visiting davidsmalebooks.com. Don't forget to join us weekly for new episodes. Until next time.